We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe.
Continue with what we started last week. So last week we talked about the parables of Jesus. How many were here last week? Remember our introduction? Great. So I don't have to do the introduction again. Awesome. Well, parables are basically earthly stories with this heavenly meaning. A parable was a story that Jesus told to a certain group of people at a certain time to really emphasize what he was talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God and talking about who he was. Because sometimes people begin to follow him around from place to place, really for the miracles, because Jesus had a lot of passion in his heart. And it said he went from village to village, and he said he did great things. He did miracles. People were healed and set free, and crowds of people began to follow. And at some point in Jesus' journey, he began to switch from just giving the straightforward sermon and began to tell parables. And his disciples came and said, what does this mean? What does all this mean? And he explained to them, this is what this parable means. Now, I know each one of you could probably tell a story about something that happened in your life where God intervened and showed himself true. I could tell you story after story after story of how God has worked in my life. When I have come to the end of my rope, my daddy would always say, as a Southern Baptist pastor, he would say, son, if you get to the end of the rope, just tie a knot and hang on, because God will eventually make his way there. So I've come to the point where I've tied many a knot and many a rope, and I've hanging on, and God's always proved himself in my life. My prayer is he'll continue to do that. Not only in my life, but I want to see God do that in your life as well. So today we're going to look at another parable that Jesus taught. This parable we're going to talk about today, taken from the book of Luke, is called the parable of the lost son, or otherwise known as what? The prodigal son. Now, what's interesting about this story that Jesus told, many of you probably know that there's two parables in God's word that are very, very famous, that as a Sunday school, growing up as a Sunday school, we heard about them a lot. The parable of the prodigal son and the parable of the good Samaritan. Next week we're going to look at, well, the week after next, we're going to look at the parable of the good Samaritan. But this week we're going to take a look and we're going to dive into what is Jesus saying in this parable of this prodigal son. What's going on? What's happening? Who is he talking to? So before we dive into that, you get Pastor Shannon's version of it, which I love Pastor Shannon's version because I kind of add some stuff, but that's where you laugh. You're going to get it, right? We're going to look at God's Word. So we're going to open up your Bibles. How many of you have your Bibles today? If you don't have your Bible today, please say, hey, can I have one? Can I borrow a Bible? We've got some in the back. Or I'll just be glad to pass one out to you. I love to read the Lord's Word. We'll also have it up here, Luke 15. Chapters 15, verse 11. Let's read this parable this morning. So the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11, it says this. There was a man, Jesus says, who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And when he had been long to be fed with pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it upon him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. And that's where we'll end for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word speaks so much truth to our life today. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word today, we begin to explore and study what you are saying, God, that you would become alive through your word. You become alive, that we can apply that to our lives. Lord, that we can begin to walk each day as, Lord, you would want us to walk and be reminded of what you have shared with us this day. Lord, I pray that the words that I speak today, Lord, would not be just the words from me alone, but by the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Lord, let it fall upon ears, Lord, that are open to hear and hearts open to receive. And if I say anything today, Father, that is not according to your word, Lord, scratch it from our memory. But Lord, let your word come alive today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And say it. Amen. So this is a pretty famous story. How many of you know this parable? How many have read it before, right? We love it. Our kids start acting up, right? They become bad kids. We go and we read them. This is what's going to happen now, boy. This is what's going to happen. You're going to squander. You're going to eat with the pigs. Now, I know about pigs. See, I was raised on a farm in Mississippi. I was speaking to Tammy this morning and said, yes, I'm an alien. An alien of Massachusetts, originally from Mississippi. So I grew up on a farm. I know what pigs smell like. I know what pigs eat, right? So this story's got some pigs and some pods, and it's got all kind of great stuff in there. But let's take a look and let's see what's going on here in this parable. First of all, who was Jesus talking to? Who knows who he was talking to when he told this parable? He was talking to the worst of the worst. He was talking to the most outrageous, the worst sinners of the time. That's who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to the tax collectors. Right? Tax collectors, right? Let me tell you about the tax collectors that Jesus was talking to. They weren't your typical IRS agents who send out the wonderful letters. They say, yeah, you owe this much in taxes. You get upset and mad. That's not what we're talking about. See, this was the mafia of the day. See, these guys, they were Jews, and they were hired by the Roman Empire to collect the taxes, not only for Rome, but for the king who was placed, or the governor who was placed there in Jerusalem. So they would go out and they'd say, hey, we need your taxes. Oh, and by the way, we're going to collect an extra 15% because it's not safe around here. If you want us to help you stay safe, you need to give us a little extra. So they would charge a little extra in the taxes, and then they'd take it and they'd put it in their pockets. Right? Sound like the mafia? I should know. I'm married to a Sicilian. See, now you got it. Here we go. Now you're laughing. All right. Here we go. So these were the worst of the worst. These guys were bad. And here Jesus is, right, the Son of God, here in flesh, sitting down with these guys, and he's telling them this story. And this story had to do with money. It had to do with property, right? So it began to relate to their hearts. Not only was that, the Pharisees were the rulers of the Jewish day. These were the guys who were the smart ones. These were your educated, you know, your political guys. These are the ones who are supposed to be the leaders in the temple. And they were probably just as corrupt as any other organization in government today, right? There's corruption everywhere. We pray for our leaders. Whether you like your leaders in government or not, God says you're to pray for them and you're to love your enemies. That's a different sermon. We'll get into that one next year around Election Day. So the Pharisees, now, they were always looking for something. They were always looking to find something wrong with what Jesus was saying. They were looking for a reason to get him arrested because, see, Jesus was traveling and sharing and speaking. And what happened was the attention was being drawn to Jesus and what he was doing and away from them. And they were looking for something. So they would walk around and listen, and they were looking for something bad to say. So Jesus knew if I tell this parable, they're probably not going to get it, but it's going to infuriate them. It's going to make them mad. And they're going to keep following, and hopefully that at least one day their hearts will soften. What's another interesting fact about this particular parable is it follows three specific parables that Jesus told. One was called the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. So this was that parable. So this father had two sons, older, younger. We know that this father was a wealthy man because he said he had many fields. And he was willing to give away his inheritance wealth early, and he was still able to survive, but he gives his young son the inheritance. And what does his young son do with it? He said, it's party time now, right? Right? He probably went off to college, Jonathan, right? He probably got over there and squandered and partied. Jonathan doesn't do that in college. He's a good boy. So he goes off to a far country and he spends this money foolishly, right? And he spends it in sin. How does that look today? What could he have done today? Maybe he got caught up in bad things. Maybe he got caught up in alcohol. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was gambling. Whatever it was, it took a hold of him and he lost everything. And all of a sudden he finds himself, I don't have anything left for my father's inheritance. But what he did now, what you got to understand was, the father gave both of his sons the inheritance then. It says he divided among them, meaning both the sons. So the older son in that day would get 2/3 of the inheritance. The younger son would get 1/3. He had 1/3 of his father's inheritance, and he blew it all on this crazy life, probably filled with sin, lost everything, and now he finds himself where? At the lowest of lows. Because Jesus uses this analogy. He says he found himself in the fields with the pigs. Now we know that pigs in Jewish culture was the lowest of the lowest animals, right? So here's this Jewish man, he's lost everything, sitting with the pigs, the lowest of lows. See, he had gotten to the lowest point possible in his life. He went from having all the wealth that he ever could imagine down to the lowest place because of wrong living and bad choices. That's where he found himself. Have we ever found ourselves at that place? Because see, Jesus is preaching that parable and telling that story to us today. Has Pastor Shannon ever found himself at a very low place? Yes. Have I ever been in a place where I have done things that I should not have done? Yes. But what's great is God's mercy and grace was able to pull me back out. And that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. Because all of a sudden, this young boy, right, he comes to his senses, right? He comes to his senses. He stands up and says, what am I doing here with these pigs, eating this pig food? When my father has all the wealth. He says, even the slaves and the servants at that time, those who worked for his father, those who did all the work in the fields, even they've got more than what I've got right now. Even those who are at the lowest level in my father's house have it better off than I've got it right now. So what does he do? He gets up and he begins to walk home. I'm just going to go back. Now, here's what he's doing now. He's going home. He's thinking in his mind, well, I got to come up with a story. What am I going to say to my father? So he prepares this speech. He tells him, says, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. And I'm coming home. I am not worthy to be your son or your daughter. I'm not even worthy to be one of your servants. But even that is better than where I am now. So he goes, and this is the beautiful part about this story. It says that when he was afar off, and he was a long distance away, it said his father saw him from a far distance, and it says his father ran to him. It said he grabbed him, and he kissed him, and he said, welcome home, son. That's what God wants to do for us, right? Then what did he do? This next part of this story, to me, is the most beautiful part of what happened. You see, the father ran and he met his son. And the word tells us that when he met him, he kissed him, and he called out and he gave his son 4 things. This was the part of the parable that Jesus wanted to get across to those who were listening. Because these 4 things that this father gave this son meant a lot in Jewish culture. It meant a lot to those who were listening. It meant a lot to the Pharisees. It drove home the idea. See, I can stand up here and I can tell you, right? We as people sometimes draw ourselves away from God. We think God is this far distant, you know, great being that's always mad and angry at us because we never can do right. And if that's the way we see God, that's the way we live our life. That we never can be good enough. We never can do the right thing. So why do I even want to waste my time going down to that high school and meeting at that church there? Why do I want to do that? I'm never good enough for God. That's exactly almost what this son was thinking when he was at that point. I'm not good enough. I'm not even good enough to be a servant. But the father went and he grabbed him and he kissed him. And this is what he says. When we look down and we see there in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but while away, he was still a long way off, his father had compassion, ran, embraced, and kissed him, and said to him, the son says, I have sinned. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, the father turned around to those that were with him. So we know this, that when he ran off to greet him, he didn't go by himself, because it says that his servants, or those who worked for him, were there. They ran to him. And he says, quickly, go grab my best robe. You see, these are the four things that we're going to talk about real quick today that the father gave his son. He gave him a robe. He put a ring on his finger. He put shoes upon his feet. And he went out and he killed the fatted calf. You're saying, well, that's not too exciting to me. Man, I don't know, Pastor Shannon. I don't know what you're getting out of that, but I'm not too excited about a robe. I mean, I get up in the morning sometimes and put my robe on and have my coffee. There's nothing exciting about that. And hey, I got a ring on my finger. You know, I'm married. I'm taking four ladies, so I got the ring for my wife, right? Maria's even got a robe. She's got this orange robe she puts on and in the wintertime. And I know, honey, I got to tell you, it's funny, right? And we all sit there and see her come downstairs with her big orange robe on, and she's having her coffee, and she's just happy in the morning. We're looking like, Mom, don't walk outside on the front porch. The boy said, she's like, why? Because you look just like the pumpkins that are out there. With that, right? That's what the boys say. I don't say that. I tell her she's beautiful. Honey, you look beautiful in that robe. You wear that robe as much as you want to. We tried to buy her a new one year, but she wouldn't take it. She still got her pumpkin robe. Shoes, right? You're probably saying, well, I got shoes. We wear shoes everywhere we go, right? Matter of fact, I got two or three pairs of shoes that fit. I mean, Donnie had some nice shoes on today. Look around. Look at each other's shoes. We wear shoes every day. And a fatted calf. I mean, we go down to the supermarket and get our steaks cut about that thick, right? Put them on a grill. This doesn't mean anything to us. It meant something during this time. But see, the robe that the father gave the son, and he tells us part of the story, the robe was only reserved for guests. So if you were a guest during this time and you went to someone's house, they would walk and they'd put a robe on your shoulder so that everyone who saw you knew that you were the guest of honor, that you were the special person who was visiting today. They want you to stand out above everybody else. Not everybody had that robe. So when the father says, go get that robe and put upon him, it reminds me of another story in the Bible about a robe. You remember the coat of the robe of many colors that Jacob gave his son Joseph? He put it upon him and says, you are favored by your father. So much that Joseph was favored among his other brothers and that they got jealous. So this father here puts this robe upon him. This robe symbolizes a place of honor. We look at that as equaling righteousness. See, when we place that robe, as in Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So for you and I, right, God is saying, if you have walked away and you have beginning to say, I need to return to my Father, he is there to greet you and place that robe of righteousness upon your shoulders. That robe of righteousness means that we have been forgiven. The Father says, when he placed that robe on that son's shoulders, he said, you are forgiven of your sins. You are forgiven for what you've done. I wipe them clean. When folks look at you, when the family looks at you walking around on this property, they will not see you as a son who has taken his inheritance and squandered it in poor living. They're going to see you as a son who is highly favored, filled with righteousness, and forgiven for your sins. How many of us need that robe right now? Every hand should go up right now. I need that robe. It's the robe of righteousness. Then he gave him a ring. Right? You ladies, you like those rings. My wife, right? Going back to her again. She says, honey, I want this ring. And I looked at that ring and I'm like, honey, we've been married for a couple of years. It's going to take me 25 years of marriage to get up the money to buy that ring. She's going to get it. He puts a ring on his fingers. What's this ring all about? Let's go back again. What happened to Joseph? The story of Joseph, many of you know that his brothers were so jealous of that robe. They sold him into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar and worked in Potiphar's house. And it says that Joseph found favor, right? He became highly favored while he was in the house of Potiphar. That he was given charge over Potiphar's whole house until one day he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. But he did not fall to that temptation. He ran, but was falsely accused. And what happened? Thrown in prison. So here he is in prison. He begins to become highly favored by the prison guards while he was in prison. See, that robe of righteousness and favor never left Joseph. Because God had placed his mark upon him. In other words, he found himself at a high point and he found himself at a low point. But every single time, God raised him up into a place of favor. And we know the story that says Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph was able to come out of that prison, interpret that dream. And Pharaoh said to him, he said, you have interpreted well. He says, bring my signet ring and place it upon his hand. Because now he has complete authority in the land of Egypt. Only myself as Pharaoh has more authority in this land than Joseph. See, when Jesus began to tell this story and says that the Father placed the ring upon his finger, he was saying, now not only have you had the robe of righteousness and forgiveness upon you, he said, now I'm placing the ring upon your finger that says that you are my son. You have favor in this house. That your words are the same words as my words. So as you walk down the village and they see the ring, they know that you're my son because the robe you wear and the ring that's on your finger. So the ring is an example of a spiritual authority that God has given us to overcome that sin, overcome that way of life that has consumed us for so long. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, we read these words. It says, and you who were dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands that he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them in open shame by triumphing over them. Those scripture means this. That you have the spiritual authority and God has gone to, Jesus has gone to that cross for you so that you can walk in the authority over the sin that tries to come against you in your life. And by wearing that ring upon his hand, that's what that son did. Now I believe this, when Jesus was telling this story, I believe those Pharisees were mad. They were angry because they're saying, how in the world can you tell a story where a son has taken his father's inheritance, squandered it in horrible living, and you're going to bring him back in your home and forgive him with no questions asked? Jesus said, yes. Yes. Absolutely you're forgiven. No questions asked. Because you've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's my favorite one, right? It says he put shoes upon his feet, sandals. Now, remember, Jesus is telling this story during his time. And what was happening now during this time is that those who wore sandals upon their feet, they were the upper class. Now, let's not talk about class warfare, but let's talk about this. Wear that upon their feet. Your father says, hey, I'm putting sandals on your feet to let you know that I am a wealthy man, and I want people to know that you are my son, and you are wealthy as well. This is an example of the sandals. It says, during this time, that only the poor. That having sandals meant that you had wealth. It meant this. You are not a servant or a slave. So how does that relate to us today? Because sin can grab our hearts. And they can hang on and hold us captive. I know folks in my life who are dealing with addictions. And it grabs a hold of them and it hangs on. And it works its horribleness upon their life and they can't escape it. So many times I hear they can't escape. They've become a slave to it, whether that's food. Well, food can be an addiction, see? Right? or drugs or alcohol, or again, whatever it may be, all of it is sin. And sin wants to come into our life and grab a hold and hang on, right? And all of a sudden, we become condemned of that sin instead of being convicted by the Holy Spirit. Another verse in Galatians chapter 4 says, in verse 3 says, in the same way we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are a son and you are a daughter, God has sent the Holy Spirit, His Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a man and a son and an heir through God. Now, if you want to say amen, that's where you say amen. Because no matter what you're going through in life, you do not have to become a slave to it, but Christ has already gone to that cross. He has died upon that cross. He's taken that away from you. All you have to do is get up out of that pig pen and run to your Father, kiss Him, and say, Father, I have sinned. I don't deserve it. And your Father God will say this. He will say, yes, you do, because you are my son and you are my daughter. Let me place upon you the robe of righteousness and forgiveness. Let me place that ring upon your finger. That ring that says that you are my son, you are my daughter of authority. Let me put those shoes upon your feet so when you walk, you will know you are not enslaved to your sin. You are not a slave anymore. You are my son. The last thing he gave, well, let me say the shoes are my second favorite. The last thing he did was, he says this. He says, go and get the fatted calf. Let's kill that calf and let's eat. Let's have a celebration. Notice here, he didn't say a skinny calf. Okay? He didn't say a goat. He didn't say a sheep. The word fatted calf was mentioned on purpose. Because you only saved your fattest calf for only certain times of celebration. Times when there was a wedding, something of grand celebration, when you can invite the whole community out. That's when you sacrifice and you killed that fatted calf. If you were just going to have a meal for your son who came home from college, right, you're going to go get the skinny goat, right? Jonathan, you get the skinny goat. You don't get the fatted calf. Because see, this is what was going on in the heart of that father. See, when that father saw his son coming and he greeted his son and he told him who he was and the son began to say, yes, Father, yes, Father, yes, Father. He says, now we're going to have a celebration like we've never had before. It's going to be the biggest celebration ever. Because my son, my daughter has come home. This was significant. Because this was a big deal. This was huge. This wasn't a small little thing. See, God celebrates. I believe that there's a party going on in heaven. I use the word party because we can all relate to party, right? We like to party. Some of us are going to go home and get us a little party happening and party going on and watch the Patriots. Our kids have birthdays. We throw a party for them, right? We have weddings in our families. They throw a big party for that. See, there's a party going on in heaven right now. A party because the redeemed of Christ have come home. There are those who are giving their life to Jesus Christ. They're saying, I am no longer a slave to my sin. I am now a son and I am a daughter of Christ. God looks down and says, there's another one. Let's throw a party. Keep the party going. Keep the celebration going. He's going to have a party for you. He's going to have a party for me. Now, do you believe that? Hey, how many of you like a party, right? I like a party. So what does all that mean? Can you sort of break that down for me, Pastor? Absolutely. This is how simple this parable was. Every one of us, at some point, or we know someone who at some point have asked for that inheritance. You see, this son asked for that inheritance was like a slap in the face. It's like saying, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I wish you were dead. Give it to me now. See, that's the selfishness of the world working through us. What's awesome is that God says, yeah, when you realize where you're at, you're going to get up and you're going to come home. Church, we're coming home to Jesus. You can take this word and share it with someone else and ask them and pray for them to come home to their Father, because He's not going to stand there and condemn them. See, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted the heart of the Son to get up and go home. It was a condemnation of the enemy that kept him there. See, the Bible says He has not given us condemnation. We don't walk in condemnation. Condemnation says that you'll never be good enough to receive the inheritance that Christ has for you. Condemnation says you'll never be good enough to get into heaven. Condemnation says you'll never be good enough to walk into those doors of that church and sit there with those Christian church people. Remember this. Jesus Christ did not go to the temple and sit down with the temple leaders and tell this story. Jesus sat down with the worst of the sinners and told this parable. That's you and me. We're all sinners. We sin every day of our life. But Christ says, I've come that you may have life more abundantly, because you have been forgiven of your sins. I am going to the cross. He went to the cross for us. He gave His life so that we can walk as sons and daughters for Jesus Christ. Let's stand up together right now. There's two type of people. We are two type of people. There's those of us who follow God, those who know God, those who have walked with God, but have told ourselves we're not good enough. And then maybe there's some of us here today that say, you know what, I haven't. I don't think I know God as that Father who's willing to place that robe upon my shoulders or place that ring upon my hand. He does. He wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for me. We will never be good enough. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can walk in His righteousness. And He calls you His son. He calls you His daughter. And He says that your sins have been forgiven. Church, that's awesome. You know how awesome that is? That's the greatest gift we could ever receive. Better than all of these gifts is the gift of Jesus Christ. Because of His death, we're no more enemies to slave. Lord, we are Your sons and we are Your daughters. If you find yourself today in one of those places, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I'm just going to pray. And you pray this in your heart, because I think every one of us can pray this prayer. Lord, thank You. Lord, when we deserve to be a slave, Lord, when we deserve to be a servant and didn't deserve hardly anything from our Father, You gave us a robe of righteousness and forgiveness. Lord, You placed upon our hand that ring that says we have that authority in You over that sin that's in our life. You've placed the shoes upon our feet that says that we're no longer slaves and bound to the sins of this world. But we belong to You. We belong to the great God who loves us. The God who has so much wealth that He's willing to give. And Lord, we know that there's a celebration that happens each and every time someone prays the prayer and says, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of walking the way that I have been walking. Lord, forgive me of the sins that I have committed. I cry out to You and call You my Father. I am Your son, not worthy, but by Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have made me worthy. I accept You, Lord, as my Savior. I accept You, God, as my Father. Lord, I will listen to the Holy Spirit as You speak to my life. Because God, Father, You loved me enough to send Your Son to die. Lord, raise him up for victory. Well, I thank You for the prayer that we've prayed here today. I thank You, Lord, that we have been able to worship You today in spirit and in truth. Well, I thank You, Lord, we're able to give cheerfully with our hearts. I'm glad, Lord, that we were here to listen to Your words as You speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, let us take that word and live it in our life every day, because we know that You love us, God, and we love You. Lord, we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And let's say together, amen. Amen. Now here's your challenge. Last week I gave you a challenge to go back and read the Sermon on the Mount. dwell upon it. This week, my challenge is this. Go back and read those other two parables. Go read the parable of the lost sheep and see what Jesus did. Read the parable of the lost coin. And then read this parable again. And every day when you wake up in the morning, I want you to put on that robe of righteousness and forgiveness. And I want you to walk in the light that God has given you and ask for the opportunity. Church, this is it. We've got to ask for the opportunity. God, give me the opportunity to share this with someone else. Don't take it to yourself and hide it. Share it with someone else. Can you say amen? Amen. Give God the glory. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, listen, this is what we're going to do, all right? There's coffee. There's